Welcome to another episode of Cattlecast, presented by Capital Area District Libraries. It's the podcast that provides a nice mix of information and entertainment.
Hello, this is Mark Bezita with another episode of Cattlecast. Actor Mark Campbell from Disney's The Lion King will be checking in. Saxophonist Phil Denny will discuss his new album. And Cattle's HR director will share how the library is giving back to the community. Plus, we'll be providing this month's Cattle Keyword, which could earn you tickets to see School of Rock the Musical at Wharton Center this fall. Congratulations to Kevin Palmer, who won Lion King tickets last month, for knowing our keyword, lion. Join us for all this and more when Cattlecast returns.
At your Capital Area District Libraries, everything is right here. And now you can access thousands of films on demand with Canopy. Choose from hundreds of new films each month, available on a variety of devices and platforms. Your Cattle Card provides free access to thousands of films, from award-winning documentaries to hard-to-find titles and classics. It's the world's finest cinema, now free to you. From your Capital Area District Libraries, celebrating 20 years of providing great service. Log on to CADL.org today.
I've never been in a clique for anyone to mess with. There's no drama queens or queen bees around here. I'm not as lucky as the cool kids with the hybrid cars or the close friends of the movie stars, but I can live with everything I'm not. And I'm still waiting for reality to come and give me life. So until then, I'll sit tight right here. You're right here is where I should be. And here is where I'm happy. And nothing can stop me. I've got everything right here.
A song written by my first guest helped inspire Cattle's current slogan, Everything Right Here. It's my pleasure to welcome singer-songwriter Taylor Taylor to Cattlecast. Hello, Taylor.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, thanks. So tell our audience a little bit about yourself, where you grew up, where you went to school, that sort of thing.
Yeah, I grew up in Lansing, Michigan, and I went to school in Okemos. And then I went to LCC for music and got my associates and then moved out here to California, to L.A.
Very nice. So how old were you when you first started writing and performing music?
I was 8 years old when I first learned guitar. And then I started performing around 13 and writing when I was 15. That's when I released my very first EP.
Okay. Now, even getting started on the guitar, how did that happen? Did you get it as a gift, or you just thought this would be something fun to try, or how did that go?
My mom listened to a lot of John Mayer growing up, and so I listened to a lot of John Mayer, and I really liked his voice, and I liked his songs and just the way he played guitar. So I think he was an inspiration for me to want to learn to play guitar.
Mm-hmm. And do you remember listening to other music around that time that would have inspired you, or you thought, hey, this might be something fun to do as a career?
Yeah, I also really like listening to Avril Lavigne. She's like this punk rock artist, and so that's originally what I wanted to do, was be like punk rock, kind of like she was. But then I learned to play guitar and just fell in love with that acoustic nylon string sound that I have now.
And did you take lessons and things like that then too?
Yeah, I did, at Marshall Music, actually, for about 8 years. I took lessons over there every Friday night.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, now, it was just over 2 years ago that Cattle unveiled a new advertising campaign that features your song Right Here. Explain how how did you and the library begin working together?
I was performing at a gig for Meridian Township a couple years ago. And the marketing director, Trenton Smiley, saw me perform there. And he went to my website and listened to the song, and he reached out to my manager about using the song, and here we are now.
Yeah, the rest is history there. And so that song right here, was that one of the first songs you wrote?
Yeah, it was the first song that I wrote completely by myself that I really liked and was proud enough to perform. And so that song is the song that I consider myself a songwriter with that song.
Mm-hmm. And what is it about?
I wrote it going into my sophomore year of high school, and it was the summertime, and I really didn't want to go back to school. I wasn't ready for it yet. I wanted some more summer, but I was just trying to, I was just thinking, like, it's, you know, it's all good. This is really where I should be, is right here and right now. I'm 16 and going to school. Like, everything's good. Everything's okay. Like, I have everything that I need. And so I wrote right here.
And did you ever imagine that it would become the library slogan a few years later?
No, never. It's really cool. Like, when I'm in Lansing, I see the truck riding around sometimes, and it says everything right here on the side. And I'm just like, wow, that's so cool to see my own lyrics, like, on a truck and on the radio. It's really cool.
Oh, I bet. Absolutely. Well, now you're working with Cattle once again, this time on the Capital Area Cover Song Contest. Tell us about that.
Yes, starting on July 28th, any singers or groups or bands across Michigan can enter this contest. It's by submitting a performance video of their version of my song right here. And the grand prize winner will perform at Common Ground next summer, which is really cool. I love going to Common Ground and got to perform there a couple times myself, which was awesome. It's really cool. And they'll also get a $500 gift card to Marshall Music, where I first started taking lessons.
Yeah, that sounds like a great deal. So it's a way now your song will be not only carried on in our slogan, but perhaps covered by somebody else. And that'll be really exciting for you, too, I bet.
Yes, I'm like really looking forward to hearing all the different versions of the song.
Now, our listeners can see you perform live at Marshall Music in Lansing at 3 p.m. on Saturday, July 28th. What can they expect from that performance?
I have my band with me for that performance, mm-hmm. and they are incredible. I have a drummer, a bass player, and a keyboard player, and they're really great musicians, and so it's going to be a really good show, and you won't want to miss it.
Absolutely. Well, tell us about your time out in L.A. now. You've been out there for, has it been just a little over a year now?
It's been about 6 months now.
6 months, okay. And what is that life like out in Los Angeles?
It's really cool. It's very different. The traffic is as crazy as people say it is, along with parking. But it's really nice for it to be, like, sunny all the time, and the city is huge, so there's music venues, and there's open mics just happening all over the city all the time, and there's always something going on, so you never have an excuse to be bored out here, that's for sure.
Oh, yeah. And have you had a chance, I mean, are you performing on a regular basis out there right now?
Yeah, there's this one bar restaurant that I play at a couple times a month there, so that's really cool to, like, see the regulars that come in and stuff, and then just hitting up the open mics and playing anywhere I can, kind of starting all over again like I did in Lansing.
Oh, absolutely. Well, that's great that you can do that out there and then still come back to your hometown and have connections there. And that's wonderful to be able to visit both places and still continue your music.
Yeah, it is. Thank you.
Well, Taylor, thanks for joining us today. Again, we look forward to seeing you again soon. Again, the cover song contest information and Taylor's July 28th concert. You can get more information by visiting our website, cadl.org/song. Taylor, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
And you're listening to the Cattlecast podcast. Actor Mark Campbell plays Scar in The Lion King. His national tour credits include Mamma Mia, Guys and Dolls, and the original Phantom in the 25th anniversary tour. Michael can also be seen on the TV series Sleepy Hollow, who he plays George Washington. Mark, welcome to Cattlecast.
Thanks. Thanks for having me.
So tell us about your character, Scar, in The Lion King.
Well, Scar is a iconic villain, maybe one of the most iconic villains in the Disney treasury. And he he's sort of like Iago and Othello. You got to figure out as the actor why you think he does the things he does. And for each actor, it's a little different. But hopefully you do him his full justice, because there's a lot to do justice to.
And this wasn't your first big break in the business. But tell us about what that experience was like.
Well, you know, I think as stage actors, it's not a road. It's an ever winding path, and you never know. But I think probably my first big show was Mamma Mia, and I toured with that for a couple of years and had a great time with that. But each new gig is a new adventure.
Now, what are some of your other favorite Disney villains?
Big fan of Ursula. I've done a couple productions of Little Mermaid, and she's pretty hard to beat. But, you know, 1001 Dalmatians, you got just a laundry list of great villains. Hard to compete.
Absolutely. Well, over 90 million people around the world have experienced this show, The Lion King. What are some of the reactions that you've seen or heard from people who have watched the program?
Well, audiences just really go crazy for Lion King in a way that I've never seen before in my career. And it just moves people emotionally. And I like to say, you know, if you love musical theater, you'll love Lion King. If you hate musical theater, you'll love Lion King. Mm-hmm. It's just something that's unique to the theater world in the range of people it affects and how it affects them.
Sure. And in addition to the show itself, the powerful music, mm-hmm. obviously including music from Elton John and Tim Rice, but that adds a whole other element to it.
It really does. And the original movie, a lot of the background music was scored by La Boheme, who's a South African composer, and his music was given a lot more weight to the stage version. So the percussion and the vocal stylings, and there are several dialects spoken during the show, and it all gives it a completely different feeling than anything else that's ever been on stage.
Now, you've done a lot of theater. Tell me about some of the craziest stories that have happened on stage, particularly with either your character Scar or any other aspect of the
Lion King. Oh, there's so many. But I'll give you a good one. Shortly after I started playing Scar, and probably 2 weeks in, we were in a theater where the PA system stopped working above the second floor, so nobody heard the places call for the second act. So I screamed something and turned to see Nala, but Nala was not there. And so the actor playing Zazu and I had to improvise for about 2 minutes. And I could tell this is not something that had happened very often, because I saw the curtain start to go in. And then stage management realized it was going to be okay, and the curtain went back out. So for that one performance and one performance only, the audience got an extra 2 minutes of Scar Zazu that the world will never see again.
Oh, wow. Well, Mark, congratulations on everything you've achieved so far, and the success of your character Scar in The Lion King is another milestone in your career, I'm sure.
Thank you. It certainly is. It's a great honor to play the role.
Well, congratulations. Disney's The Lion King is playing at Wharton Center now through July 29th. And don't forget about the sensory-friendly show on Saturday, July 21st. Tickets are still available for that. Special thanks to Delta Dental. And congratulations to all of the cast and crew. Thank you for joining us today. For more information, go to whartoncenter.com and check out the great photos we have on Cattle's Facebook page as well. Shift the conversation to comic books, and joining me from Comic-Con International in San Diego is Ray Berry, comics lead for Hoopla Digital. Hello, Ray.
Hello.
So you are at Comic-Con.
You?
Great. What's it like over there?
It's crazy. There's a million people here. I kind of want to say that it's more crowded than it was last year, but the weather's perfect. There's costumes everywhere. It's great.
Now, for those people who don't know, what is a Comic-Con?
Comic-Con is essentially, it's like a celebration of many, many different aspects of, you know, geek culture, pop culture. Geek culture is kind of a little more precise, I think. You know, you got superheroes, you got video games, the characters from all these things, you got zombies, comics, obviously, manga, anime, Game of Thrones, everything you can think of kind of all under one roof, all in one place, all being celebrated at the same time, people from all walks of life. It's pretty amazing. It's pretty awesome to be here.
So are comic books still popular, and who's reading them these days?
For sure. Sales are up, and I think they're the best they've been in like 20-some-odd years pretty recently. I think a lot of people read them. There's kind of a changing of the guard, I feel like. You got the old-school readers. You got people that grew up reading comics, love comics. And then sometimes those comics actually became movies or TV shows. And then on the flip side of that, you got kind of new school readers, you know, the new generation that love the movie. You know, the Marvel movies are just gigantic, you know, or the TV show Walking Dead, Preacher, you know, and then they find out, well, there's a comic for that, and then they get into comics that way. So I think, you know, there's definitely people still reading them, and I think that this is sort of the new norm, you know?
Absolutely. So talk a little bit about your job as comics lead for Hoopla Digital. What does that mean? What does your job involve?
Well, my job, I mean, I do kind of a little bit of everything. I wear a lot of hats, as do many people in the digital publishing industry. I curate the comic collection. You know, I talk to the publishers. I plan all the marketing strategies, all the featured content, you know, all the work with the email team and the digital marketing team. And yeah, so, you know, I mean, there's a lot of different facets to this job, but it all centers around, you know, comics and graphic novels, which I love.
Absolutely. Well, now, in addition to books, movies, and music, Hoopla does provide patrons with access to a great collection of comics. Talk a little bit about the Hoopla collection, as well as the Action View feature.
Sure. So I'd say we have around 14,000 or 15,000 comics live right now on Hoopla. We've got comics from DC, Marvel, Image, Titan, Dark Horse, IDW, Boom, Fantagraphics, Dynamite, Archie Comics, Lion Forge, pretty much everybody in the industry. You know, I mean, all the everything you can kind of anything you can want. New titles, you know, with new street date releases, new stuff from DC and Image and Titan. You know, books that you would buy in the store, you know, the same day. But kind of in addition to that, what sort of gets overlooked from time to time is we have this growing number of critically acclaimed nonfiction titles like the March series from Congressman John Lewis, you know, he's a civil rights leader.
Mm-hmm.
That series was huge. Memoir stuff like My Friend Dahmer, the Paul Dini Dark Knight title, and then The Best We Could Do, which is for, I don't know how many Eisner Awards right now. It's a fantastic book. And I just kind of love that there's this literary aspect to comic books that, you know, libraries and schools are really starting to pick up on this stuff, and they're really starting to push this as, you know, a viable option for, you know, for classroom education and for, you know, for book clubs. And Action View, it enables readers to kind of move in between full page and panel by panel comic, you know, a graphic novel reading. So it's pretty cool. It's pretty immersive. I joke and I call it spoiler alert view because I tend to read down the page. My eye tends to scan down. I cheat ahead.
Right.
And so when I'm in Action View, it's kind of cool. I can't look ahead. So I can actually, you know, go panel by panel and be surprised the way it was intended, you know. So it's pretty cool. It's a pretty cool feature. And every book that we get in has that applied to it manually. It's touched every time by somebody who goes through it and, you know, makes that immersive experience, you know, stand out so much.
Absolutely. You know, in books, we always talk about the classics and Shakespeare and things like that. How do the comic book classics still hold up today?
Oh, absolutely. I think probably my favorite book of all time is The Killing Joke. That was published, I think, first in 1988. And when I was a kid, I grew up, you know, loving the Batman movie, the first Tim Burton one, 89. And then I got older and I realized what, you know, that was a huge influence on that. And that book still holds up today, you know, as probably one of the darkest books I've ever read. And, you know, and then you got Watchmen, you got all these classic Marvel titles, you know, that's the history right there. And it's kind of like, what's great about Hoopla is you can kind of jump in as a noob, you know, or as a rookie and having not read a lot of comics, and you can kind of just, there's a whole history. There's a whole, all our backlist titles. It's very, very complete. And
there's a whole world.
It's
yeah.
A great place for people to start.
A whole world to discover there,
you know,
sure.
It's, sorry. Okay, I'm here. Lots of yelling, sorry.
Sounds like it's a good crowd over there.
It is, yeah, yeah. I guess there's a Deadpool, a Doctor Strange, and a Spider-Man yelling, standing in the street. And they're taking pictures now. So.
Oh, very cool.
Pretty cool. They blocked off the street this year, so there's a lot more room for people to walk, but it's still incredibly crowded.
So. Oh, I bet. So who's your all-time favorite comic book or character?
I thought about this, and it's you know, I hate to sound cliche, but I'm old school. I grew up loving Batman, and Batman's probably still my favorite. I kind of can't mention Batman without the Joker, though. There's kind of that whole element there to it, and I think that I almost sometimes like the Joker a little better. But so So that would be kind of my, if I had to just pick one, it would all come down to that. But there's a bunch of new stuff out. I love the Saga series from Image. Also the Killer Bee Killed series from them. It's cool, vigilante, kind of got a kind of supernatural to it kind of story. Image is putting out great stuff. I love Dark Horse has got some great stuff. There's the Moby Dick graphic novel that came out. It's gorgeous. It's up for an Eisner. I'm glad it's getting recognized. And all the nonfiction stuff, too. I love all that stuff, too. So just it's kind of great. I realize it's a great job because I get to, you know, throw myself into comic books on a daily basis. And so many great stories out there. So many great writers and creators out there. And it's great that it all kind of culminates into this and I get to be out here immersed in this whole Comic-Con scene. So
absolutely. Well, yeah, and to get to enjoy comics and now it's part of your actual job, that's a great thrill, I bet.
It is. It's pretty amazing. And what's cool, though, is that, like I said, it's not even just about comics anymore out here. There's just so many elements of pop culture. You know, there's Adventure Time. Sin is walking right by me right now from Adventure Time. There's, you know, Cartoon Network stuff. And like I said, the video game stuff, Zelda stuff. You name it, it's here. Just got a following there, you know, it's represented here. So it's pretty awesome.
Well, Ray, thanks for being our Comic-Con correspondent today. And we hope you have a great time. And thanks for all the information today.
Awesome. Thanks so much for having me. I appreciate it.
That's Ray Berry, comics lead for Hoopla Digital. Check out the Hoopla Digital comics by visiting cadl.org and clicking on the Digital Downloads tab. Stay tuned for more CattleCast right after this.
To celebrate Capital Area District Library's 20th birthday, we're giving CattleCast listeners a chance to win great prizes, like a Kindle Fire or a pair of tickets to see The Lion King. Just listen for the special keyword during new episodes of CattleCast. When you hear it, email it to connect@cadl.org along with your contact information. Winners will be announced during the following month's episode. Each month a new keyword will be announced, so keep listening to the CattleCast podcast.
Julie Laxton is Cattle's Human Resources Manager and a member of the Cattle Cares team. Hey, Julie.
Hi, Mark.
How long have you worked for Cattle?
I've worked for Cattle for almost 19 years.
Okay, so Cattle's 20 years old this year, so you were there almost right from the beginning. And in that 19 years, like when people ask me, they'll say, you know, what has changed about the library? And I'll usually say things like, well, you know, in the beginning, the internet was just kind of in its infancy. And now we have, you know, the Library of Things collection and that sort of thing. But from your perspective as a human resources manager, what has changed the most over your time here?
Well, when we started, we came together from the Ingham County Library System and the Lansing School District System. And what I've seen change over the 19 years is that Cattle has really come together as a team. So now people identify as working for Cattle. It feels really good to see that happen.
Right, absolutely. And when you see all the new staff coming in, do you see any kind of common elements from new staff? I mean, or not just being nervous about a new job.
And we hire all kinds of people to work at the library. But what's really nice is our commitment to public service has never changed. So we hire new people, and they don't really know how to work at a library or what it means to work at a library. And when they come and they start working, they realize that everybody's really committed to customer and public service.
Well, in addition to your job as the human resources manager, you're a member of the Cattle Cares team. What is Cattle Cares?
Cattle Cares is really our umbrella of all of our staff efforts to support local charities and service organizations throughout our service area.
Okay. Give us some examples of some of those things.
One of the things we do every Friday is we allow staff to pay $1 and wear jeans. And that $1 is collected, and we donate that to the Capital Area Literacy Coalition, or CALC. And so far, we've donated almost $1,700 to them.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's great.
That's one thing we do regularly. We also participate in all kinds of other organization events. One of the things we've done is Ingham County Recycle-Rama. Mm-hmm. We had about 10 staff members go over there this year and help with that. We participate in the Capital Area River Run, which is a run in downtown Lansing.
Right.
And staff either walk or run, and the money goes to I-5 and Lansing Promise and some other charities around the area. Mm-hmm. We have participated in a drive for area homeless veterans. We collected personal items for them in our branches and donated that to the Volunteers of America. We've done a number of things like that.
Yeah. Well, and it's really great because it's a chance for staff to get out into the community a little bit and interact with the public, and to do it all for a good cause is really valuable for and rewarding for both sides,
exactly.
I think. So talk about some of the upcoming projects for Cattle Cares. I know there's the backpack initiative that will be going on and
some
of those things.
We are participating in the backpack and school supply drive sponsored by St. Vincent's this year. We are collecting materials for kids to learn. Several of the branches are drop-off points for donations, and we hope to fill at least 1,000 backpacks.
Wow. Great initiative to have, especially at the beginning of the school year. Kids can always use more pencils and markers and notepads and all that kind of stuff.
Absolutely.
Too. Now, are all the branches participating in the backpacks, or are there certain places that people should go for those drop-offs?
This year, the ones that are participating are Mason Branch, or Hazlitt, Okemos, South Lansing, and then downtown Lansing.
Also a great way to encourage people to get library cards, too, right? At the beginning of the school year, get your kids and parents signed up for their free library card.
Yes.
If people want more information about Cattle Cares, they can find that on the Cattle website, is
Absolutely,
that right?
Absolutely, yes.
CADL.org. One last thing before you go, Julie. Could you give us this month's Cattle keyword?
Sure, Mark. The keyword is cares.
Cares. All right. So email this month's keyword, cares, to connect@cadl.org for your chance to win tickets to School of Rock the Musical at Wharton Center this fall. Julie, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Right here.
Do you belong on stage? Then you should submit your entry to the Capital Area Cover Song Contest, July 28th through August 31st. Singers, groups, or bands can enter by submitting a performance video featuring their version of the song Right Here by Taylor Taylor. The grand prize winner will perform during the 2019 Common Ground Music Festival and will receive a $500 gift card to Marshall Music.
Visit cadl.org/song for more details. That's cadl.org/song.
Right.
That's Switch Up, the latest single from my next guest, saxophonist and businessman Phil Denny. Phil is a Billboard charting artist. His fourth studio album, Align, was released this past June, and he joins us now on Cattlecast. Welcome, Phil.
Good morning, Mark. Thanks for having me.
So before we hear about your Billboard music charts, can you give us a little background on yourself?
Sure. Well, I am I'm a Lansing native, but I was born and raised in Sarasota, Florida. I guess I would say I'm a product of the Lansing School District.
Uh-huh.
I'm a graduate of Lansing Community College and also a graduate of Olivet College. I've been playing music since I was 12 years old. Over time, found a way to take my passion for music and my interest in business and, you know, become self-employed and make it all work for me. So
yeah,
it's been fun.
Tremendous success already. I mean, your debut album, Crossover, came out in 2012, is that right?
2012, that's correct.
And soon after that, your music was appearing on the Billboard charts.
Right, yeah.
What is that experience like?
You know, I had no idea going in 2011, other than to create an album and to create, you know, good music, that, you know, I would end up there in such a short period of time. But I think it's one of those things where it comes as a result of hard work and passion and dedication to your artistry and your craft. And I spent a lot of time leading up to 2012 networking and, you know, putting myself in a position to see and be seen and asking a lot of questions and observing from a distance, if you will. So I think that certainly helped me early on as kind of a precursor to the music, if you will. And I think that's great in anything that, you know, entrepreneurs do, or people that are looking to discover something, you know. And that was really what I was searching for, was how do I take my interest in music and business and, you know, become ultimately self-employed as a musician, a recording artist, and, mm-hmm. you know, someone that especially locally produces events and so forth. So.
And you write all your own music, too.
I do. Right? I write my own music. I work with great producers and collaborators. Most of the music that I have recorded, with the exception of my holiday album, I think I have a collection of about 40 songs now, are all written by myself, other than, you know, like White Christmas and, you know, Little Drummer Boy and, sure. and things that appeared on my holiday album. But otherwise, yeah, the nice thing about Align, my most recent project, is I recorded that from home. All the saxophone parts and some of the production I recorded from home. And last year was just a learning curve kind of a year for me to begin really focusing on more of the production of the music rather than depending on some of the outside producers and collaborators that I've worked with in the past.
Mm-hmm. And was that always, was that important to you to write your own music, or even when you were starting out, cover songs and things like
right,
that?
Right, yeah, certainly spent a fair amount of time covering other people's music. And that was really, you know, how I developed my own sound. You know, we as young artists, you know, emulate and sort of mock, if you will, some of the people that we look up to. And, you know, I did that for a number of years. I had a band in Lansing for about 12 years called Too Smooth for Notes, and we were public for quite some time at the local clubs and so forth.
Right.
The name of that band I actually started in high school for a talent show. So the name was around for 20 plus years, but when I decided to do music full time, it was a decision to, you know, go under the label Phil Denny and really start to make myself a product and a name in the business. You know, it's funny because a few years ago, a friend of mine, Orrick Ewing, who's a local bassist and has done very well in the music industry, said, you know, there's no other feeling than to walk out on stage and play your own music. And I really didn't know at the time what he meant, because I hadn't felt that experience yet. But certainly he was right when I started to travel and play my own music and to see the reaction from the people and those that knew the music sort of lip sync around, you know, with it. It was a really cool feeling.
Oh, sure. What is the process like, not just creating an entire album, but even just, you know, obviously one song at a time? I mean, can you be inspired? You know, you wake up and you go, today I'm going to write a song, or does it, like, how does that process work for
sure.
you, and how does the music come to you?
Yeah, and it's different for every artist, you know, but for me specifically, I tend to find myself in a mood or a moment in time. And like with Align, my most recent project, while I worked on it very intermittently over about 9 months, most of the recording and the ideas and the concepts came to me over about a four-month period, which I think is a good time of year for me to record, being like November through March, because here in Michigan it's quiet, it's still, and we kind of hibernate. So that was, you know, my time to really just buckle down and be creative and take these thoughts and ideas that I have at that moment and make it a genuine recording experience. So most of the songs that are on this most recent album were written specifically for it. You know, some artists will have a collection of 30 to 40 songs and narrow down, you know, what they want to put into that collection on the album. For me, it's more about how I'm feeling in that moment in time, and I think that people can hear that translation through the music in each and every album.
Now, you've performed certainly around the state and around the country, but even around the world, including the Dubai International Jazz Festival and Nairobi and Kenya, Cancun. What is that like, performing at venues around the world?
It's truly amazing. I've said for a long time now that the cool thing about music is you never know where it's going to take you next, and that's very true. You know, there's a different level of appreciation in some other areas of the world, which is great to see. A lot of people that live outside of the States look at Western music a little differently. It's just great to see the cultural experience, you know, that they'll share with our music, the camaraderie among people, and just the deep appreciation, just the how people can let go in the moment and experience the music. And it's great because, you know, you go to other places and you meet fantastic people and you see a different part of the world that you might not otherwise experience.
Now, you've got a couple shows this summer here in the Michigan area too. Tell us about some of those.
Sure, yeah. Most of the local performances, and any performance for that matter, you can find at PhilDenny.com. But the one that I think I'd like to mention is my second annual Armory Smooth Jazz Fete, which happens in the East Side neighborhood at the historic Armory. This is our second year. We had a great inaugural year last year, and it's an adult-only ticketed event. We've got great artists, food trucks, beer, wine, arts, crafts, and the whole bit. So it's a great engaging entertainment experience. I would encourage listeners to, you know, check out the website, which is smoothjazzfete.com, to, you know, come and experience what we do.
And again, give us the website. How can people find out more about your music or upcoming performances?
Sure. The best way is PhilDenny.com. You can listen and download music on iTunes. You can check it out here at the local library. And appreciate you guys for that support, of course. Amazon, Spotify, Andorra, you can hear it on SiriusXM Watercolors. You know, wherever people receive their digital platform music and you know, maybe even shop on Amazon. But otherwise, PhilDenny.com, and if they're interested in the festival, SmoothJazzFet.com.
And again, Phil's music is part of our local music collection, which can be checked out here. Visit cattle.org and search Phil Denny. Phil, thanks for joining us today on Cattlecast.
Thank you very much.
Congratulations on all your success.
I appreciate it.
Another episode of Cattlecast is in the books. Thanks to my guests, Taylor Taylor, Mark Campbell, Julie Laxton, Ray Berry, and Phil Denny. Please subscribe to Cattlecast so you can enjoy new episodes and discover old ones. Also, don't forget the renewal millage for Capital Area District Libraries is August 7th. I'm Mark Bezita. Thanks for listening.